Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy, Sam, Jeremy, and Mr. A here, as always. How's it going, guys?
It goes, man.
Yeah,
it's good.
You doing okay, Jeremy?
I'm doing good.
Cool, cool, cool. Mr. A, how's it feel to be a free man?
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of getting used to it. I think there's a little bit of shell shock that's going on, for lack of a better word.
I could see that too.
Yeah, I think everyone is kind of like in a weird limbo state. Like it's not even over yet, but it is over.
So. Yeah, basically. I mean, I swore off alcohol for a full day yesterday after two straight benders.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't sworn off alcohol, but it seems like I'm having this case of insomnia, and there's this, you know, while I need to sleep, it seems like there's a construction crew always going around cutting tile someplace too.
Yeah, that's fantastic. No, Jeremy, how are you feeling?
Not too bad.
Not too bad. Just chilling, this guy. Yeah. Just packing
up. A little tired.
Just a little tired? That's good. That's good. Well, we just saw Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
I think it came out. It wasn't a Wednesday release, was it? Or was it a Wednesday release?
No, I think it came out last Friday.
No, it came out this Friday.
It came out this Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
We saw it on the first day.
Mr. A, Jeremy, and myself, we went to go see it. And I think after that, Mr. A and I both went to go see it again at different screenings yesterday for the second time, right?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. You guys went and did the 3D thing, and then I was a cheap bastard and decided just to watch it in 2D.
It was good in 3D, though.
It was great in 3D, but I mean, 2D was fantastic, too.
Yeah.
Let's hear it, Sam. Guardians of the Galaxy, what's it all about? Who stars in it? I mean, it's a huge cast, huge all-star cast, and then... Yeah. I guess we'll start talking about it because this has a lot. This movie is a lot to talk about, I think.
Yeah. So Guardians of the Galaxy is a Marvel comic that came out a while ago. It's part of the Cosmic Universe, so it's not like X-Men or stuff like that. It has like it's in the same universe as like Doctor Strange and then the four Marvel gods and stuff. But it's about like the intro of the Guardians of the Galaxy, how they kind of come together and fight a bad guy who is actually not from the Guardians of the Galaxy series, but from Fantastic Four. But it's all Marvel, so it's fine. The movie stars Chris Pratt as the main character, who's Peter Quill, also known as Star-Lord. Zoe Saldana plays Gamora. Dave Bautista from WWE Wrestling plays Drax and does a fantastic job. Vin Diesel plays Groot, who's like this big tree dude. Bradley Cooper plays Rocket Raccoon, who's this little like homicidal... Yeah.
Yeah. Named after the Beatles song, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Lee Pace plays Ronan, who is the bad guy from Fantastic Four, who they kind of like moved over into Guardians of the Galaxy. Michael Rooker plays a kind of minor part as like a helping sort of figure, kind of antagonist guy. John C. Reilly, who is amazing in like 10 minutes of the movie. Glenn Close is in it for a little bit. Benicio del Toro. Yeah, it's a pretty big ensemble cast.
Yeah, it's a big cast, and the focus really is the Guardians.
Yeah,
here.
The focus is really on the Guardians, which is Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Batista, Vin Diesel, and Bradley Cooper.
Right, right. And I think people who are listening to this will probably know kind of sort of what we're dealing with in terms of the movie.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll start with Mr. A and go it around this way.
Okay.
And kind of before we get into like favorite scene or whatever, like this movie did it stand out to you? In other ways that most traditional comic movies don't?
That's a very good question. You know, there's kind of, in the past 8 years, there have been kind of like two schools of thought. There's a Chris Nolan school of comic book adaptations where it's really dark and gritty and based in reality, sort
of. Serious.
Yeah. And then there's the Marvel approach, which just has a little bit more levity and, you know, colorful action and great storytelling.
Much more fantastic.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for a while, Marvel wasn't doing so hot on their properties. You know, you had that Ghost Rider shit. But when
Daredevil.
But when they started making the Captain America films and then with the Avengers and everything else, I mean, they came up with the formula.
They turned it around.
And it was great. And so I didn't know what to expect coming into this. I did notice, because like when watching the trailers, like I have no idea who the fuck the Guardians of the Galaxy are.
Yeah, that's their
and,
fun.
And, you know, it seemed like it was not as popular as a property that Marvel used to have, but I was taken by the fact that there was so much humor in it, in the trailer. I mean, when they're doing all the when they're introducing all the characters in the trailer, and then all the comments that John C. Reilly and the other guy have to make. I mean, yeah. I'm just like, well, I mean, I'm gonna go see this, even though I have no idea what the hell this is about. So because it's so funny, just I guess to make it a little shorter. I think that was a little bit of a departure.
Well, I also agree the comedic aspect of it was really different than most of the other Marvel movies. And also there's more sci-fi elements to this movie than pretty much any of the other ones, with the exception of maybe Thor.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
But overall, it's just a lot more funny than the majority of the Marvel movies.
Yeah. And it's a goal for this movie.
Mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Sam?
So the thing I like the most about the Guardians of the Galaxy themselves is that, okay, so like in the Avengers, you have like all these superheroes and they typically have like really awesome superpowers, but the Guardians of the Galaxy are pretty cool because none of them really have any superpowers. Like Gamora can fight really well and so can Star-Lord, but it's not like they have Thor's hammer, which can go to like infinity velocity, or they can't like be Iron Man and just blow everything up with rockets. Although Rocket does have a cool gun. Yeah, he has a cool gun. But, none of them really have any awesome superpower. And that's kind of what makes them cooler when they work together, because they get to accomplish things that, you know, it feels a lot more interesting watching them do stuff, because it's like there's a real chance that they might totally fail because they don't really have any powers. So.
And on that note, Sam, I liked it a lot because all these people were. Well, all the characters are just a bunch of fuck-ups, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a group of just ragtag group of people, and I think. And I think, what's up?
Well, I was just saying, like, that is another really big difference between that's the Marvel comics. Marvel, they're all, like, pretty much all good, and they always go with whatever they think is good. Well, characters are more layered.
Yeah, the characters are more black and white. Are much more complicated because they're not like just straight up, I'm Captain America, everything I do is a good thing. It's people like Rocket, who is super greedy and just wants money and like to blow shit up, but then, you know, kind of comes around and does the right thing. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. No, I think on top of the sci-fi point and it being funny, I think that part of it was, with the sci-fi point, I talked to Mr. A right after we saw it the first time. And it was one of those things where I had hints of all these other influential sci-fi movies that we've seen before, and just little hints of, you know, you got like Fifth Element is definitely in that movie.
Yeah,
you know,
Iron Giant was
great. Yeah, exactly. Blade Runner is in that movie. You know, you see a lot of cool things and consummate kind of like must-have scenes in a sci-fi movie. They're all in this movie. And if I was sitting there watching it the first time thinking, if this wasn't a Marvel film, it would still just stand alone as like a really cool creative effort.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the charm. And also I thought it was a very well done origin story for a group of people coming together.
Yeah. It didn't seem kind of like, I think I said this, it didn't seem like hokey, like, oh, they all just got together and are buddies now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, well, they all kind of fought against each other and then got caught. And that's why the only reason why they know each other is because they got into a big fight. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's lots to talk about, but let's talk about favorite scene and what you liked in general, and let's say your favorite Guardian of the Galaxy character in that group.
Okay.
So favorite scene, what you liked in general, and your favorite Guardian. Okay. How about that? Mr. A.
Well, I don't know. That's the first thing. Picking a favorite scene is going to be real hard to do because I think there's just so many that you can pick from that are so good. But if I had to... Yeah, I think it would have to be the scene where Zoe Saldana's character and all the other Guardians are coming on to the Milano for the first time, and they're going to go to nowhere.
To go find the
Collector.
Yeah.
But for some reason or the others, Gamora and Peter Quill get into a little bit of a spat, and then she says to him, "Your ship is filthy," and then she walks off, and then he just cracks this amazing line, which I don't want to share with us, with the audience. But that was my favorite scene in the entire movie.
That was great.
Yeah,
I don't want to spoil it for the listeners. But and then I guess what was your second question, Andy?
Let's say what you liked in general.
What you liked in general?
Well, I think, you know, you mentioned that sci-fi element, but I also thought that there was a lot of overlay with some of the. Indiana Jones pictures, because watching the very first part of the movie when he's going to go find the little orb, that reminds me exactly of the first shot of Raiders of the Lost Ark. And so I like that. And so it was, and you know, it was
leather
just
a jacket and all.
That was done really. That was a great intro too.
Yeah, leather jacket and all, and I and you know, and then you have all the people who are trying to steal the little thing from him.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's that mashup of comedy, the sci-fi. It's a great space opera mixed with great comedy.
Right. Right.
And then I guess my favorite Guardian, I think, would have to be Rocket Raccoon because he's a smartass. He's the smartass out of the group. He kind of reminds
me. Bradley Cooper does a great job.
Yeah. And, you know, I could see this because I was reading interviews on how he tried to create the character. And he said, I want to base my character off of Joe Pesci's character from Goodfellas.
Oh,
and I could see that in everything, the way it was written and the way his mannerisms and everything. So, yeah, Rocket Raccoon was by far my favorite.
That's cool. That's good.
Yeah.
Let's hear it for you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
All right. I'd say my favorite scene is just when the five of them are talking and trying to decide whether or not to go after Ronan.
Oh, yeah.
And they all, like, stand up. And I just thought that the script for that scene was amazing. And it was pretty
They did a good
funny.
Job. Because that, I mean, that's a really common, like, that's a common scene in a lot of ensemble cast films where it's like, and now we're all going to work together. But in this, they were kind of like, well, I guess we're idiots.
Yeah, and Chris Pratt just did, like, a great speech.
Yeah,
it was
like a good anti-hero speech. Like, we're not going to succeed, but we should try anyway.
Yeah, that's a good scene. That's a good scene. Now, what else did you like in general?
Yeah.
Well, in general, I did really like the chemistry between the main five. Mm-hmm. I thought the chemistry was great. And then, I just really liked all the scenes when they were all together talking.
Yeah.
Those are really great scenes. The movie was really well written.
Yeah, the characters have a lot of good interplay that I think is missing from the Avengers in an ensemble cast like the Avengers, because, you know, they're all such great superheroes. They all have their own big independent stories and stuff, but this is more of like a team thing, so they need to all have like a good interaction with one another that's kind of different.
Right, and I guess I would say that my favorite character out of the five of them would have been just Chris Pratt as the main character,
Star-Lord.
Just because I thought he brought everyone together pretty nicely.
Yeah.
And he had pretty good chemistry with everyone in the cast.
Yeah.
I agree. Chris, I mean, I think all the Guardians had pretty cool things to them, and Chris Pratt was a surprise. And I didn't think he was a good choice when he got cast for it, but we also saw Zero Dark Thirty together, and I thought he did a great job in that movie.
Yeah. Wasn't he the guy? Wasn't he the main guy who's doing all the commands in
the second
in the house?
Yeah.
The one that actually killed him.
I think he was the one that actually killed him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the other thing on that note, Andy, I think of Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec, and I haven't watched the show that much, but I always remember as being a kind of a big blubbery guy.
Yeah, he's just kind of goofy.
Yeah, and then it's like, there's that physical transformation that he had. I mean, he looked fucking yoked.
He's
in that
tall
movie.
Too. I didn't realize how tall
he's very tall.
Yeah, there's a point where they just do a lineup, like it's like a criminal lineup thing with all the Guardians of the Galaxy. And Batista, we all know, is being super fucking tall from WWE, but Chris Pratt is only like an inch or two shorter than him. Mm-hmm. I never noticed that before.
Yeah. Chris Pratt apparently talks about being when he loses his weight, he always talks about how he basically he's really good for like 6 to 10 weeks.
Okay.
Like he'll just cut like all the carbs and then just work out all the time.
Okay.
And then after the movie's done, he'll just go back to his regular way of eating. So just like a yo-yo diet, right?
Okay.
But yeah, Zero Dark Thirty was the first time you see him kind of sort of buff.
Yeah.
And then this time,
he looked good in that.
I think this time you see him kind of buff in this one, but you only see one scene where he's like, where they do the whole, like, where they hose him down.
Yeah.
And he looks ripped in that, but I'm pretty sure he went back to his, like, you know, he like likes to joke that he's like a fat kid deep down inside. He said that on Conan.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was extremely ripped down. He was a really good fit. I agree.
He also looks realistically ripped, not like kind
of. Oh, yeah.
Goofy,
he's not like the Captain America
thing. Captain America looks like.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
he's
that's
on steroids. Chris Pratt just looks like a big dude.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, let's hear it from Sam.
Okay, so what are we starting with? Which one are we starting with?
We're starting with favorite scene, then what you liked most, then
my
favorite
character. My favorite scene is the one kind of like in the toward the middle of the movie whenever they're all in the kiln, which is a maximum security prison, and like how they escape the kiln, which I won't give away because it's actually pretty clever, but that was just cool because that set a really good precedent for like this isn't this isn't going to be a movie where like one of the, you know, members is really overpowered and just does something crazy.
Right.
It's going to require like ingenuity and then it's going to require for them to all be clever in order to get by. So,
right.
And the way they did that was just cool.
That was very true. That was very true.
Yeah, that was cool. So that was my favorite scene. And it also just looked good CGI wise.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
It's just like a nice looking
3D. It looked great. Effect. The 3D was very crisp, especially with Rocket Raccoon and Groot. They looked significantly better than they even did in the 2D. And in the 2D, I thought they looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the 3D was just like
especially
crazy.
The scene a little bit before the one I'm talking about where like Rocket Raccoon jumps on his shoulder and just like starts shooting everyone.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
All the, there are like lots of memorable scenes with those CGI characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So things I liked in general. I really liked the pacing of the story because it wasn't like there were any big lulls or any boring parts where it was just like a bunch of talking. It kept moving, going forward pretty at a good clip. Plus, they had like a lot of nice jokes thrown throughout. Even in like a serious moment, there would be some silly joke to like kind of keep it going. So, the movie had fantastic momentum, much more than basically any other action movie I've seen in recent memory and for any comic book movie, for sure.
Very true, very true.
Yeah, like, this is not like The Watchmen where you're fucking bored, like,
well, I mean, even
minutes.
If you think about the first Nolan Batman movie, which is a great movie, but the first half of that movie, when you rewatch it, I think is extremely slow.
Ra's al Ghul, all of the stuff with Ra's al Ghul is like, oh man, this is cool, but it's only cool the first time you see it, because after that, it's just like, well, you're going to do, like, a two-minute shot of ice, and,
it was really the first time, but with this one, same effect on me the second time I watched it.
Yeah. And there's just so much to look at, too.
It is visually, it's great. Yeah.
And then I guess my favorite Guardian of the Galaxy, it's kind of hard. I would probably say Drax is my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Drax is great.
His character has a lot of change. I mean, they all change a little bit.
Right.
But Drax's character changes significantly in certain ways. And, like, his character is just cool.
Yeah, like, he was great.
Plus, he has like the best non-joke lines. Like, nothing gets over my head. I'm too fast.
Yeah, Batista did a great job.
He did a fantastic job.
They cast a good guy. I mean, like, a wrestler really doesn't have such acting depth, I would think. So that's why they gave him. And Drax is a perfect fit for him.
Yeah,
just the way that character is.
Yeah, and he did a really good job.
Yeah, solid. Yeah, I guess it's my turn. Favorite scene. There's a lot. I think I really like the first time they show the Ronan's ship floating in space, right?
I forget what it's called.
The Dark Aster.
Dark Aster, yeah.
And that thing just looked crazy cool.
Yeah.
And then you see him kind of get up from the weird jacuzzi thing he was in.
Yeah.
Right, and get all dressed up. Yeah. And then he talks to Thanos.
Yeah, Thanos is cool too in this.
Yeah, and then, you know, he goes to talk to Thanos later on. I think that whole bad guy side. I know Jeremy. I don't think Jeremy even really liked Ronan.
Not particularly. Like, his character. I thought that his scenes by himself was a really big change of pace.
Yeah.
Between the villain scenes and the superior scenes.
Superior scenes.
I mean, super. Like the Guardians.
Oh, the Guardian scenes. Okay. Yeah. See, I think I really like the jump from, like, you have your fine and dandy galaxy guys doing their own thing, but there's that menacing presence of what Ronan's going to do. And it's always dark.
Yeah, Ronan is like Captain Sirius.
It's always archaic. Yeah. I love that whole scene of just kind of like that old school. And it's like he is like the most comic book-y out of all the characters.
Yeah,
he's
really like as like obvious archetype of,
yeah,
like,
exactly,
I'm just a bad guy.
Bad guy for no reason, right? But I really like that scene at the beginning where you first get introduced to him.
Yeah.
Makes me think that I think there's a shot. I really thought they shot this movie also to be a rated R movie. When you see the shot of when that's going to happen, you could get possible gore in that. You could have seen that.
Yeah, before I saw the movie, Andy was telling me about that. Like, when you're watching it, there are a couple scenes where you're like, well, they could have just, like it feels like they cut a little bit.
There are some
out,
edit chops.
Or they just changed it or, like, filmed a second, like, an alternate shot just to get the movie into PG-13, because there are certain moments like Ronan smashes a guy's head in, but you don't see it. You just hear it and you just see the blood. Like,
I seriously thought they're like going to show it, which would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have been really cool.
But I mean, even with Mr. A's, like, we're talking about The joke that the greatest joke in the movie, in my opinion, you can't get away with more than one of those at that rating in this movie.
Yeah.
You can say they said all the shits you can possibly say.
Yeah.
The what the F part. I mean, like that was kind of like lame. Right.
Yeah, that was kind of dorky.
But
I didn't even say asshole.
Yeah, he didn't. He just said a-hole, yeah. Right? And I thought that in the like in another trailer, I heard him said a bunch of assholes, but maybe he just said a-holes. Maybe it was just in my mind. But maybe. I think the cut could have been a rated R.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a rated R version of this.
Yeah, they probably could make it pretty cool just because there are actually a lot of kills in this.
Yeah.
And like they're close quarters. It's not just like, you know, Avengers, like everyone's getting blown up. So yeah, that would have been pretty cool to see some of the more violent things. But.
Yeah, and I still think, and I understand why they do the PG-13 version because they want to make sure that they get the butts in the seats.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, even if it was rated R, I'm sure the parents would go along with their kids, whatever. They still make the same amount of money back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think, you know, in hindsight, they could have done that. But I think before the movie came out, a lot of people were like, well, no one's going to go see this. This isn't going to be as good of a success as The Avengers. But almost like, I mean, all the critics that I've read about are like, this is a better movie than The Avengers.
Mm-hmm. I certainly agree with that sentiment.
They'll make a ton of money off of just like Disney.
Yeah.
Just stuffed animals and stuff
toys.
Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
All the
and,
toys
and
stuff
that
they're
the Avengers
doing.
Was
that's
bad,
why.
The Avengers was fantastic.
The t-shirts and the lunchboxes
right.
And all that everything else.
Know. That's when you know.
Yeah. Batista collects steel lunchboxes.
Oh
maybe they'll
God.
Make a series of steel lunchboxes.
He probably is going to insist on it. I'm trying to think my next thing. I really liked, what did I like? I talked about what I liked in general. No, favorite scene,
favorite.
What I liked in general. I really liked the whole sci-fi scope of it, to be a broken record here.
Yeah, I mean.
But the cosmic universe is very interesting.
Look, yeah, especially, like, this is cool because some of the characters and the way that they've, like, laid out some of the paths, like, for Thanos and, like,
mm-hmm.
that blue dude who's named Yondu. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yondu.
I'm
yeah.
pretty sure they're going to do more cool stuff with him because I think he has two of the five or six Infinity.
Yeah.
Things. But, like. It'll be cool for Doctor Strange when they eventually make Doctor Strange.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, with Joaquin Phoenix. That's a whole nother thing. But I just like the scope and the sci-fi thing because it really was a great... It's a cool comic book movie, but it's just a cool sci-fi movie in general.
Yeah.
Favorite Guardian, I might have to say Rocket Raccoon as well.
Yeah, he's awesome.
They all have such great lines, though. I mean, I was teetering because like Zoe Saldana is like very pretty.
Yeah, Zoe Saldana.
Even like,
she's 37.
In green. What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that is hard
that's
to
great.
Believe.
Yeah, no, she has some great lines, and
yeah.
they all have such distinct personalities.
Even Groot. I mean, even
yeah.
Groot, like, a lot of people are like, Vin Diesel did better acting with, like, six words than he's done
yeah.
with any Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, yeah, Groot only really says two phrases, but
mm-hmm.
you get a lot, like, the way he emotes is actually pretty believable toward the end, because you gotta get used to how
that's
he
very true.
His phrase is always in the same order.
Yeah.
Too. I know, I'm so, in the same way in the comics, too, so.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, so many different cool characters, but I guess we'll move it on to the nitpicky things of what we didn't like, or if they could have changed something in general.
Yeah.
Mr. A, let's see what you got.
Well, I think my criticism would be where it has to slow down and explain the motivations of the bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, because you got such great high-octane action and storytelling that's going on, and then you had to slow down, and then they had to spoon-feed to the audience what's going on. I think and I understand why they did that, but it, to me, it kind of detracted from the overall pacing of the movie. And when they were on Thanos,
mm-hmm.
or on Thanos's little
island
or whatever.
Space island. Yeah.
And, you know, all the scenes with all the Kree people. I wasn't interested in that.
Oh,
I don't care what, and, you know, and of course they had to do some type of traditional bad guy plot, right? I'm going to I'm going to be the guy that avenges all of my people for,
sure,
you know,
sure,
the past 1,000 years or whatever,
yeah,
whatever it was. So
yeah.
I thought that was a little chintzy, but,
yeah,
or
but
hokey
oh,
rather. But
that reminds me too. I'm not sure if they explain this in... I don't think they explained it at all, but the Xandarians are supposed to be just like humans straight up. It's like an alternate universe Earth, which is what Nova Prime is. So like they were the only humans around, I guess.
Okay. I didn't know that. I don't know
they
the
just, they, it's
story.
Like they didn't think
I
that,
didn't,
that was important, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously when you see a Xandarian, you think human.
Yeah, they all look totally human. So I wasn't sure if it was like another place, like an Earth was also there, but it's like an alternate universe Earth. There is no other Earth. It's just Nova Prime. So,
yeah, and then I guess the other part of it was exposition again when they're in the collector's
oh,
warehouse.
Yeah,
And then Benicio del Toro's character explains what the Infinity Stone's purpose is and why it's such a powerful artifact.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little hokey
as well. That was pretty...
So those are... But those are really... Considering the scope of the film, those are just really two minor things.
Yeah. That's like a total of less than like 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, and I don't know how you get around having to have a couple of scenes like that because you are trying to explain
especially cause
what's
like,
going on.
Throughout the other Marvel movies, like you get to see some of the stones. Like Loki's staff has the green one.
Right.
And in this one, it's all about the purple one. But like they don't actually tell you what they do or what they are until this one.
Right.
As far as I know,
I don't think they've ever said what those were.
I didn't watch the Thor movie. They might have in that one.
Yeah, I haven't seen Thor either.
The first one with, you know.
That would be my criticism. And I think it was just a well-done movie overall in spite of those things.
Yeah. Jeremy?
All right. Well, I guess the nitpicky would be mainly the beginning parts when Link is dancing in the planet in the beginning.
He doesn't like that scene. You don't like that scene, right?
No, I just thought that was really slow and the song was really out of place.
Interesting, right? That's an interesting take on things. Yeah, because I think most people in the theater were laughing their asses off.
I like that part. That was just silly.
And Jeremy's just sitting here and was like, I'm not having any of this shit.
just
walk over there. Haven't you seen Indiana Jones? Something bad could happen. Yeah.
It was like, I thought that I really liked it starting with like when they started fighting, which was really 10 minutes into the movie.
Oh, yeah. But that was a great scene, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
And besides that, just like some of the villain scenes I thought were a little off, mainly from Mr. A's point of view, too.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, I guess the villain thing, see, to me, that's just the only thing that keeps it in a comic booky realm.
Yeah.
Like the cheesy bad guy.
Yeah, you kind of need a little bit of goofiness along with just
the like, I will say that when I watched it a second time, when I had heard all the stuff again. Not to go out of turn, but it was like you could tell that some of the lines and some of the things about the bad guy just kind of like the whole scheme of things seems it's all ridiculous, right, and absurd in the sci-fi universe. But I still like I think we're all there with it, and it was very good. But yeah, that's interesting. I really like Jeremy's critique of the first scene because that thing sets the whole tone of Welcome to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
right. And he's like, "Fuck you, man! I don't want any part of this movie."
Yeah. But it's just like the song doesn't go with this movie at all.
That's the whole point, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I liked I thought everything else went.
Oh, like as far as the music goes. Okay. Great. Yeah. I mean, that one song is the weirdest juxtaposition, I think, with the that song onto that scene in like a really dark, creepy world.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's the kind of the
that
fun
was.
End.
But I mean, that's great criticism because that's going to be the one that's most different from all of us. I think.
Yeah.
That's solid. Anything else? On the thing that you didn't like?
And that's pretty much it. I thought like the sister plot line was a little off too. It was Zoe Saldana's character.
Oh, the
like,
sister.
Yeah,
the
her trying
rivalry.
To convince the sister that
that character was kind of weak sauce.
Yeah, just I thought just that character.
I really
was
think
weak
that this movie probably had like another 30 minutes of film in there though.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe she
was more developed.
More layered.
Yeah.
Had a couple more scenes. I thought
because I literally nothing's really you don't really know what her deal is except she's like some sort of weird humanoid thing, right? And I think people who would know anything about Thanos and his children, I guess, maybe Diego would know this stuff. But
that the blue lady, I don't know what her name is. But the blue lady, I think, is actually Thanos' daughter, and Gamora is Thanos' adopted daughter.
Yeah, and I heard Diego told me that whenever Thanos goes to kill like a population, he'll kill like everybody and then keep like one girl.
Yeah.
And so I think he's got like a ton of adopted children.
Yeah. He's just a nice dude.
Yeah, but that's a good point about that blue lady. She's just there in the movie just to fight at the end, I think. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like to have a face off.
She gets owned in a great way, too.
Oh, that is true. That is a great scene.
And they were just not really sure what their relationship was like when they're all just like fighting over the morals of what Ronan's doing. And Thanos.
And it didn't make any sense because she hates Thanos, too. But that's weird. But I think all this stuff is fairly. I mean, I think we all really like the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Sam, let's hear it from you.
My nitpicky things are really similar to what Mr. A had to say. Like, Benicio del Toro as the collector, like, he himself, his acting, he was fine. But, like, the purple lady who was, like, his assistant, who destroys his lab for no real reason, was kind of dumb. And, explaining what all the stones did, although I kind of, like, knew what the stones did from before, like, that was also sort of... hokey and dumb. But again, that's a really, really small amount of time in the movie. It's less than like 2 or 3 minutes for just that entire sequence. So that's not that big of a deal. I didn't like I think Andy, you might attest to this too, but like the music. So like the movie has like this mix CD that Peter Quill's mom made, and so like tracks.
Mixed CD.
Yeah. it's a cassette. It has this like cassette that plays like kind of pivotal tracks throughout the entire movie. And the songs are just like really, really common overplayed songs, which, you know, there's nothing wrong. And that kind of makes sense because they're supposed to be like hit songs.
They are hit songs from the 70s.
Yeah. And that's fine. But at the same time, it's kind of like, well, you could have chosen slightly different songs or maybe just not done so many
and
songs.
And some of the ones that I remember, some of the ones that were really good, I think.
Like Cherry Bomb was good.
Cherry Bomb's great. And, you know, it's and there the first song that Jeremy's talking about, yeah, that's a weird song to pick.
Yeah.
And I think, but like some of the ones, like I'm Not in Love, right? And, you know, that one. Yeah. All that stuff in the middle, those songs are good. My gripe were the two songs at the end.
Yeah, both of those songs, the Ooh Child one and then the.
I'm talking about Jackson 5 and the one before that.
Oh, I like the Jackson 5 song because Groot danced to it.
Oh, yeah.
But I like the Ooh Child one because that went in with the plot.
I actually like that one too. That was good. Some of the songs were just kind of like, I didn't really need this song.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard those songs in like a million other movies, though. And with this movie, like the Ooh Child one was great. That was another like kind of like left turn. And it was that was a great device. But I think the, you know, Ain't No Mountain, right? You got that, and then you got the Jackson 5 stuff. And it's just kind of like, yeah, I mean, you could have finished it off on a different thing. But the Groot dancing scene was great. But music, that's the other gripe.
Yeah, the score is awesome.
The score is fucking fantastic.
This has to be like the most subtle and like well-used score in any Marvel action movie because like when there are moments for the score to shine, it does a fantastic job. But it's not like, you know, always around or like kind of weird sounding.
It's not like your bombastic Hans Zimmer score where you have drones and Kyoto drums.
Take like, a page, Nolan.
You have little Japanese men in white thongs hitting drums right there. He's like, yes, more of that. Yeah. No. The score is great.
The score is great. But just the like popular 70s tracks kind of got old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Pina Colada was terrible. I hate that song.
So does the guy who sang it. So that works out. He seriously hates that song. And he actually hates Pina Coladas. He's like, I didn't like that song because I never liked Pina Coladas. And they had to write about it. But I guess it's my turn, and it's funny because I had my gripe in the middle of telling Jeremy that he had a really good gripe, and then got to Sam, and then I forgot my gripe. So I'll say, the songs were weird for some of it. Tiny other gripes. This happens a lot in Marvel, you know, and like the exposition, not so much like the bad guy exposition of like, you know, this is what happens when he gets the Infinity Stone. But there's a scene where Rocket Raccoon is getting them out of prison. And then you see what happens. Like, stuff is happening, and you see that's what his plan was all along. And then Zoe Saldana's character explains to you what you're seeing in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I'm trying to recall exactly.
It's right when I hope you have a plan. They're in that pod.
And then she explains what's going on.
It's you can and it, you already see what's happening.
You already
so it's
know
just
what
like
he did.
Dumb to be like, okay, I know that. I understand. I could see with my eyes.
And I think part of that, and someone else said this online, is like the reason why Guardians was a really good PG-13 character movie was because you have. I think that exposition is basically for little kids whose parents took them because you also have, they called Rocket Raccoon and Groot the gateway characters into getting into this kind of dark and violent universe.
Rocket because, Rocket is like, when you first see him, he looks like this kind of cute, goofy raccoon. And he's also like, and then later he's just crazy. He just wants to blow everything up, which is great, but. Yeah, I can definitely see what you mean by trying to get little kids hooked.
Yeah, it's a very good general audience movie, but then you sacrifice something for people
like
us.
The first scene with Groot.
The first scene with Groot especially, right? Uh-huh. And then it's like you have people with us like who hate children, who absolutely hate children. No, but I mean, it's just it's you sacrifice a little bit of that when you go into a movie with a more general audience, I think.
Yeah.
But that's a tiny gripe. And now we're going to get into the fun bit, and I'm going to say out of 10, as usual.
Yeah.
If there's a better Marvel movie out there, and why does it rank amongst Marvel movies the way you chose it to okay. rank?
Mr. A?
Well, I think I'm going to have to give this a 9.5.
Whoa!
It's a really nice one.
Yeah. And the reason I'm giving it a 9.5 is just because those little nits that we talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, for a comic book movie, that's pretty high.
Very high.
And I think I would have given, as far as where it stands in the overall Marvel universe, mm-hmm. I mean, the top three for me would be this, mm-hmm. and then Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier.
Which is great.
Which is great. And then I'd have to put the Avengers. And I don't know. And so, and then all the other Marvel movies to me, I don't care for them. I don't care to see Thor because I don't, sure. I mean... He's not an interesting character to me.
Yeah, his universe has some cool characters in it, but not the same way.
And even the Iron Man films, even those are fun. I mean, it's just not. It doesn't have the same level of. It didn't hold the same level of interest. And of course, Ghost Rider, all that shit. Yeah, just flush that down the fucking toilet.
Hey, let's not leave out
Stevie Flaming Turd.
Yeah, let's not leave out Spider-Man, the Jedi of the Marvel universe, who's owned by Sony. So
well, Spider-Man. I mean, I just never cared for that too much.
I hate Spider-Man.
So. But when I like these movies because they have a little bit more of an ensemble cast, and you know you have a lot of people who are working on a problem, rather than somebody who has, you know, issues.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's my take on it.
Solid. No.
Nice.
That's a great order too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeremy, let's hear it. A rating. Where is it rank? And what would your top three be? I guess let's do it like that.
Top three Marvel.
I think I would give it an 8.
Okay.
I thought it was great overall.
I think I know what you're going to rank above this then. Let's hear it.
Well, are you considering Spider-Man as part of its universe?
Yeah, because it's Marvel.
It's Marvel. We'll consider that, yeah. Even though it's Sony.
Yeah, Sony owns it, but it's still the Marvel universe.
Okay. Well, I mean, I would put Spider-Man 2 from the original.
Wow.
Okay.
That's great.
Serious?
Yeah.
Okay, so Spider-Man 2, you're going to put this Spider-Man 2 ahead of...
I think that would be the only one that I would put ahead of it.
So. Oh, I thought you were going to do Captain America 2 ahead of it.
No. I would put that, Spider-Man 2, then probably the first Iron Man.
Wow. This is great. We're going to have a good spread. And why? What are you going to give Spider-Man 2? I'm curious. Just out the top of your head, is that like a 9-ish range?
It would probably be around 8.5 to 9.
Wow. Strange. Okay, cool.
I thought that was a great movie all around.
I saw that movie. Yeah.
He hates Spider-Man.
I thought it was a good movie. I like Spider-Man, too. Yeah. Yeah. And you don't have to fuck with the origin story as much as they did in Spider-Man 1. Another long Spider-Man 1 where it takes forever for him to be like, oh, I can do these things now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting spread. Should people go see it? I mean, should people go see it like right now? Not wait?
Oh, yeah. I would have... People should see in the theaters.
Yeah.
I would put that.
It's a funny blockbuster.
It is.
Yeah. All right, Sam.
So I will give Guardians of the Galaxy also a 9.5 because it's just a really fantastic movie. And I think I gave the Avengers a 9 or mm-hmm. 9.5. I don't remember. But this I like a lot more than the Avengers.
Yeah.
Because I guess the thing I think about is like if you take any of the Avengers, like the Hulk alone or Iron Man alone, like they're not really an underdog.
No.
I mean, they're kind of an underdog given, like, the scale of bad guys they have to
fight.
But they have enough power or, you know, ingenuity into making power if you're Iron Man in order to overcome whatever they have to fight. So, like, one-on-one. They
and money. Fight. And money.
And money. Yeah. Thinking about Tony Stark. And so, like, all the X-Men have, like, mutant powers and they all team up together to do stuff. The Guardians of the Galaxy do a really good job because they're legitimately underdogs.
Yeah, they're underdogs, and all those people that are in Star-Lord's group could literally be those people that they're drinking with at the casino that they are at.
Yeah,
you know,
like, and none of the Guardians would have their own like soul story that would do really well, other than maybe Gamora, because Gamora is just a really good.
Star-Lord has his own comic series, apparently.
Yeah. I don't know if he...
Diego hates it too. He says it's just terrible.
Really?
Yeah. Which is coming from like one of the biggest comic book fans. Yeah.
Yeah, but I bet he's not like, you know, Stark with his
no,
crazy
no, no,
fusion
no.
core shit. Let me like fire.
Yeah, these guys are ridiculously underpowered. I mean, yeah.
And none of the Guardians are like that. So, I mean, I really like them for that. If we're going to rank them, I definitely have Guardians of the Galaxy as number one. And then the Avengers is number two. And then probably for number three, I would do... man, I don't know what I would do for number three. Okay, Mr. A is mouthing to me the second Captain America movie, which I did like a lot too. So I guess I'll put that in there just because that's probably the most recent one that I can really remember well enough right. to be like, oh yeah, I like that one. The third
Captain America 2 is really good.
Yeah, that one is really good, and it also came out on Blu-ray either this week or last week. So if you guys
interesting,
you can go check that out. But yeah, that would be my ranking.
Solid.
Ghost Rider, I don't even count as a Marvel movie. Daredevil, I think, is also Marvel.
Yeah,
and that sucks. Yeah, I hate Spider-Man. I just hate Spider-Man. He's a shitty superhero. He has too many powers.
You hate him on principle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's his bias right there.
And but
they should definitely go see it in the theaters.
Yeah, you should definitely see it in theaters. I would recommend if you're going to see it in 3D, like regular. We saw it in regular 3D and it was fine.
Yeah.
But you still get that weird afterglow effect because the projection speed of regular 3D isn't the same as IMAX 3D. If you were to see it in 3D, I would actually go ahead and pay for the IMAX because there are a lot of like really epic space shots where everything is dark.
Everything's dark, and then you have like some like it's vivid color too.
Yeah,
it's contrast.
Like, it's just like high contrast.
Yeah.
And regular 3D cinema projectors can't get the afterglow properly that an IMAX projector can. So like I would go see it in IMAX 3D as opposed to regular 3D, but regular 3D is fine too.
Yeah.
2D is also fine.
2D is fine too. I mean, just go and see this movie.
Yeah.
Because
it's a really good story. Even,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Aside. Yeah. Go check it out.
Cool.
Yeah.
I guess, okay, here we go. I'm going to give this one. See, I was teetering between a 9 and a 9.5, and then I'm ranking it in my head. And my rank, I guess I'll give my rank. My rank is going to be, I'm going to say this one is number one. Number two will be Captain America 2.
Which is just a great movie.
Yeah, and that was my favorite that I'd seen in a long time. And then number three is going to be Days of Future Past for me.
Okay.
I really like Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past is a
good
movie. I just don't like the X-Men, though.
It's not a Marvel. It's because it's still Sony, right? It's Fox.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not part of the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy are a different timeline. But.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Like, so I think Days of Future Past for me was a great X-Men movie.
It's a cool movie.
Yeah, again, but there's more substance to Guardians of the Galaxy, more depth than any of the other Marvel movies we've seen. I think, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, well, Captain America 2, I think, comes pretty close to it. And I think the reason for that is that, you know, there's all that, there's all of that espionage overlay in Captain America 2.
Yeah, it's more like a spy thriller
than
it is.
Which
really
is neat. And you know, there's some really deep psychological stories that are going on there.
That's true.
And, you know.
Plus they intro Zola, and Zola's going to hopefully be really cool in the next movie.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, both Captain America 2 and Guardians of the Galaxy have that level of complexity that you want.
That's true.
By being, you know, a routine film watcher, but at the same time having the same amount of levity that you want by watching a comic book movie. So
yeah,
it's hard to compare both of them. I think they're apples and oranges.
That's a good point.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, the cosmic universe is really fantastic and crazy, whereas
it's
Captain
nuts.
America's universe is basically just Earth, America.
Yeah, like it's true.
It could be today. All of that stuff could happen today in D.C., and we'd be like, oh, yeah, Captain America, great
That's
job.
True. It's kind of like, yeah, it's apples and oranges. That's a good point because that environment that we're watching is just so fantastical.
Yeah, it's
right?
out of this world.
Yeah. I don't get it. No, but those are my three movies, and I really like the X-Men though. So, and that's my favorite X-Men movie. The Avengers was great, and then I watched it again, you know.
Yeah,
and I thought it was pretty good, but
I mean, and the Avengers is really solid. Mm-hmm. They have like a lot of epic fighting in that, and the way that they make all the characters work together is cool.
The only problem with they have the Avengers on the rewatch is the first 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It's like we're gonna let everyone know that's the most exposition by all the characters. They're letting you know what's happening, why it's happening. Don't ask any questions. We're just gonna like prep you, which you have to do with a book of this, a movie based on such a big thing.
Yeah.
But with Guardians, I mean, Guardians is great. Standalone movie. I can't wait for the next one to come out.
Yeah, they already revealed that they're going to have a second one. It's the same director, same writer and everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say also, you know, go and watch this movie. 2D, 3D, whatever, right? I really enjoy the 3D. I watched it in 2D and 3D once. Uh-huh. And then also, don't wait to watch the Easter egg at
the
end.
Yeah, the Easter egg sucks. Don't watch the Easter egg. Least compelling Easter egg in any Marvel movie. No one cool like Quicksilver or Scarlet Witch. Yeah. No one, nothing interesting.
I think they were just trying to joke with you.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's a bad Easter egg. Yeah. Crap, I had something to say, but now I can't remember. Oh, it's whatever.
All right. Yeah. I mean, Ms. Ray, thank you for coming again. We'll probably have one more podcast at least or two more.
Yeah.
With Mr. A.
Yeah.
It's that we're going to watch Sharknado in a bit. Are you staying? Sharknado 2. Are you going to stay for the Sharknado 2 podcast?
Absolutely. I've been wanting to watch Sharknado for the past couple of weeks.
Good. Yeah.
Good. Good. But then we have that and we have Boyhood coming up. So
and that
that'd
be
fun.
Be
that's
going to
be great. And that's probably going to be like a 3-hour podcast, which would be good. I guess that's it.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for listening as always. Really appreciate it. Let us know what you thought about the Guardians of the Galaxy or maybe how you rank them in the Marvel pantheon of films that have come out. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.